You're listening to Street Roots Radio. I'm Hannah Francis. Street Roots Radio is a collaboration between X-Ray FM and local publication Street Roots. Street Roots is a nonprofit organization in Portland, Oregon that creates income opportunities for people experiencing homelessness and poverty by producing a newspaper and other media that are catalysts for individual and social change. So the article that we're discussing today is called Lost in Translation. The state professionalized helping patients understand their doctors, but the interpreters union says they're last to be paid. This article is by Jake Thomas. Hi, Jake. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Jake, this story starts out with the story of JP, a medical interpreter, and his struggles doing this work and not being compensated enough. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that work looks like and how people are impacted by this kind of work?
Right. So starts out with Juan Pablo Loyola, who goes by JP. He's a Chilean immigrant. He came to the United States a while ago on a visa that allowed him to work as a physical therapist in hospitals. And he told me that he worked in hospitals in Indiana, Ohio, and Florida. And during that time, he was sort of the unofficial translator. Just because being from Chile, he spoke, you know, he spoke native Spanish, fluent Spanish. And so he would get pulled in to help out with appointments for other patients where there was a language issue. Like a lot of medical professionals, he described getting really burnt out during the pandemic, just having to work so hard all the time. And so he did a move across the country in 2024 to Oregon. And he ended up doing medical interpreting, professionally. And he described one story in there where there was just a family that had come into the hospital multiple times, and the family had a developmentally disabled child who was young, and there was something wrong. He was in pain, and there was something going on with him, and the doctors just couldn't figure out what was going on. There was some sort of layer of misunderstanding, as he put it, and he was able to figure out that the child had a what's called a G tube, a gastronomy tube. That's where the child gets nutrients, and it was the wrong size and it was hurting the child, and so he had to work through all this medical terminology and cultural nuance and the language, and go back and forth, and without him they wouldn't have figured out what was going on. He's been working as a medical interpreter, and but like it's pretty rare, my understanding from my reporting, for somebody to have like a staff position as an interpreter. That these jobs are just always end up being freelance contractor jobs, which anyone who's done that kind of work knows that there's upsides and downsides to it, but it is just the rate they're getting that some of them told me that they're getting paid. Was kind of surprising, just considering the complexity and importance of the work.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like really essential work. That is, the thing determining whether people actually get the care they need or not. And yeah, you were talking a little bit about the shortcomings of this kind of work, and specifically the contractor position, which I think a lot of people know that if you do your taxes as a contractor, you often have to pay a lot of money, and you often make less.
Yeah.
What are some of the other kind of difficulties with the financing behind these jobs?
So the way it was described to me in my reporting is, so my story really focused on Medicaid, where there's a real need for interpreters. And in Oregon, the version of Medicaid we have here is the Oregon Health Plan. It's a state federal program, but Oregon, that's just the state's version. And so the way the money flows through it is, there is, it comes from the federal government. It goes to the Oregon Health Authority. Then the Oregon Health Authority will hires what's called coordinated care organizations, which are function basically essentially as insurers, like they're insurance companies, but they do Medicaid. And so they coordinate the care for their members, for people who enroll with them in their Medicaid programs. So they're so they have this big they get this big check from the state essentially every year, and that's their budget. And so then from there, the coordinated care organizations, they'll hire these third party companies, which are called like language access or interpretation companies. And there's a bunch of them, and they do pretty much what you'd think they do. It's like if you need an interpreter for whatever, you call them up and they'll send an interpreter out. And the problem, and it would make sense you'd have it this sort of arrangement because you don't know when you're going to need an interpreter, especially for like medical, a medical interpreter in particular, because you don't know when you're going to have to go get medical care. So you want to have people who are available around the clock. You want to have like just a big pool of people that can speak of, the big languages, of course, like Spanish, Russian, Vietnamese, but also maybe somebody speaks Farsi or Tibetan or just some language, and you need to have somebody. So you want to have this big pool of people that can speak the language. And so that's why it's hard for it to be like a 9-to-5 staff job. The problem with all this that I hear from the interpreters and their union is that by the time the money goes from the federal government to the health authority to the coordinated care organizations and to the to the language access companies, and by the time it gets to the interpreter, they're getting paid like as low as $20. Like $20 to $30 on the upper end, like 35, 38, but they get paid as low as $20, which is, you could just go out there and you could find a job which is requires less, where you don't have to be bilingual, you don't have to know all this medical terminology, and so they're just feeling underpaid. Another big problem with this whole arrangement is that there's an information imbalance between the interpreters and these companies, where you're just like one person and you have all these companies, they're paying different amounts, and so you don't know what their costs are, you don't know what their expenses are, so it's kind of difficult to negotiate a higher rate. The one of the interpreters I spoke with, he likened the coordinated care organizations to a black box because they do the contracting with these companies. And you don't know what they're paying. You know they get money, it flows through them, but you don't know what they're paying. And so the union was saying that they got one of these contracts where the company was getting paid like $88 an hour for these contracts. But then the interpreter would get just like not even half of that.
Then you also talk a little bit about how people are depending on these jobs to survive. Can you tell me a little bit about how people are getting affected and not having health insurance and all this?
Yeah, I mean, the big one I heard from people was just health insurance, because as a contractor, you don't get health insurance through your job. And so that means you have to go buy it, an individual policy. And anyone who's been paying attention to that knows that that has just gotten crazy expensive. And it's always been expensive. And I talked to one interpreter who is telling me that Carlos Burgos, he was saying that for his first 2 years being an interpreter, he did not have health insurance. Like he's out there working in the medical field as a medical interpreter, but he's going without health insurance himself. And then you have to pay a big old tax bill, and it's always bigger than you think it's going to be. Retirement, you got to save for that. So it's so I mean, it might be even $20. Like you could go get a $20 job, an hour job from somewhere. But that might even come with benefits. So a lot of these. So what I'm hearing is that there's interpreters who are just really struggling, just because you don't the pay is unpredictable, and or it's just inconsistent, and then you gotta have all the expenses as a freelancer on top of it.
Right. So, what is being done to address these issues?
So the state has been trying to professionalize medical interpreting for a while, for years, particularly with Medicaid, because it covers a third of the state, and it does involve a lot spending of a lot of public dollars. So the state created this registry of people who have training for medical interpreting, and in the state in Oregon, you're supposed to use people from this registry if a medical appointment is going to be covered by Medicaid. But there's just loopholes in this law where, companies can find ways around it. And if they just really need to have somebody and they can't find somebody else, or if they find somebody who's otherwise qualified. So there's loopholes. So you have all these people who do this training, but then they don't, but then they're still competing with people who haven't. And so one of the big pushes recently to further professionalize this profession and try to make it easier for interpreters was this bill that was passed in 2024. And the one of the big parts of the bill was it creates this online portal where if you're a trained medical interpreter, you can go on this portal and you can find appointments and you can sign up for them. And that way you can get paid more directly. Like you can go to the work more directly without having to go through all these intermediaries. This project, this setting up this online portal, has proven to be really complicated because it is Medicaid, which is just unbelievably complicated in itself. So the health authority is still setting up the portal. It's supposed to be up, in a couple years, but it has, there's just a question of like just how much it's going to cost, and it's not up. So in Washington State, they're also have unionized interpreters up there, and they have the portal is working, and the union has a negotiated contract where they get paid $50 an hour. It's a little bit less if it's like a minimum, if it's a virtual appointment or on the phone, but they've already set that up, and that's what they're trying to get here in Oregon, but it's going to be a while till they have it.
How can folks read this article?
So the best way is to go find your closest vendor. And if you don't know where your vendor is, you just go to streetroots.org and we have a map that shows all the locations where we have a vendor.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jake.
Of course, happy to do it.
You're listening to Street Roots Radio. I'm Hannah Francis.